safety for children. And the National Records of Scotland have released Queen Elizabeth's death certificate. It says she died at 3:10 on the 8th of September of old age. BBC News.
And the news was read by Vijay Alice. In a moment, Joanna Lumley guest stars in our 6:30 comedy. But first, a word about a special edition of Money Box this Saturday morning here on Radio 4.
I'm Paul Lewis, and on the day energy bills are due to rise, the Money Box team will be setting up shop in Llandudno for an hour-long special. We'll be looking at what the increase will mean for everyone and hearing how the cost of living crisis is affecting our lives. Along with our guests, we'll be offering expert guidance and advice to help you cope with rising energy bills and food costs, as well as managing your finances. That's an hour-long Money Box this Saturday morning at 11:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Sketch comedy now on Radio 4 from Gemma Arrowsmith. But will she be allowed to host her own programme?
Are you sick of people touching your lower back when they cross behind you? Do they do it even when there's apparently plenty of room and there's really no need to touch you at all? Introducing Lower Back Spikes. The all-new Lower Back Spikes are a great way to avoid unwanted physical interaction when that co-worker crosses behind you. Just attach our custom bum bag and go about your day. Our device will do the rest. When the offending person really absolutely has to touch your lower back rather than saying excuse me, motion detectors will sense the incoming hand and release large titanium spikes.
Susan, do you know who's moved the post-it notes?
Yeah, that was me. They're now in the
excuse
cupboard.
Excuse me, sweetheart, just squeezing behind you.
You're right there, Ian.
These spikes will pierce said hand before detaching from the bum bag, leaving the lower back toucher suitably impaled.
What in the hell?
Just listen to some of our satisfied customers.
I love me lower back spikes. Now my creepy boss doesn't feel the need to squeeze past me and uses the full width of the corridor. And it only took 2 applications of the lower back spikes for him to get that message. Thanks, lower back spikes.
Unfortunately, a lot of clubbers seem to have no control over their hands and so keep finding the need to touch my lower back. Luckily, with back spikes, I can go about my evening in peace and they magically gain control of all their appendages. Win-win.
Just getting past sexy. Ah, spikes!
When I'm waiting on tables, lower back spikes are a must. You wouldn't believe how many customers simply have to touch me as they're moving through the restaurant. It's like my lower back is a magnet or something. But with lower back spikes, my back becomes as repellent as I find those customers.
Don't mind me. Carry on with your table.
So call today for your very own lower back touching deterrent. Order now and receive 2 free shoulder knives.
Hey, 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 cheer up, it might never... Oh, oh God!
Thanks, lower back spikes!
Wasn't that a lovely sketch, listeners? Hello, everyone. Welcome to Gemma Arrowsmith's Sketched Out. I'm Gemma Arrowsmith, and we've got a wonderful show ahead of us.
Oh, my God. Joanna Lumley, you're amazing. All irregularities will be handled by the forces controlling each dimension. Sapphire and steel. Sorry, you probably get that all the time.
Sorry, darling. I'd love to chat about my award-winning television work, but I've got this poorly paid radio show to do.
Poorly paid? Hang on a minute. This is my show. These are my lines and that's my poor fee.
Well, I think the top brass rather thought that someone such as myself would really boost ratings.
Oh, that's not fair. I can't compete with a national treasure.
Oh, really? People are always telling me I'm a national treasure. But the truth is, I'm very down to earth. In fact, just last week I posted about how down to earth I am on Pose.
Oh, what's Pose? Is it like social media?
Yeah. It's like Facebook, but it's only available to people who were Bond girls. You should sign up.
Oh, I've never been a Bond girl.
They accept George Lazenby Bond girls?
No, I've never been a Bond girl at all.
Really? Oh, gosh. Well, I must be getting on with the script. I think I'll really bring something to the Gemma Arrowsmith character. I've even been practising my Birmingham accent. Have a listen. You all right, bub? This sketch is about gun control in America. Really? Couldn't you write about something more cheerful?
It's the news that's been dominating the headlines this week. A new measure is being introduced to curb the sheer number of gun-related deaths. From this October, all toddlers are to be banned from entering the country. Joining us in the studio is Rebecca Trelawney from the National Rifle Association. Rebecca, what are your thoughts?
Well, you only have to look at the figures. Year on year, more Americans are killed by toddlers than by terrorists. Twice as many, in fact. You're far more likely to die at the hands of a child than at the hands of ISIS. So we welcome this move, as it will help keep American lives safe.
But is a sweeping ban the right way to go about this?
Well, I think you only have to look at a typical toddler to realize that they don't appreciate our way of life here in the U.S. Most of them make no efforts to assimilate. A lot of them don't speak English. They eat and sleep at unsocial times of day and then expect the rest of society to accommodate them. They have their own dress code, diapers, and onesies with Daddy Special Soldier written on the front. I can't go to work like that, and that's discrimination against us hardworking, fully grown Americans.
Strong words there, but certainly a sentiment that is shared by a great many people. There are some who disagree, though. We have a toddler advocate here in the studio, Ronald Kelly. What are your thoughts?
I just think this ban is crazy. It's not all toddlers that go around shooting people. It's a tiny minority. There are millions of completely peaceful toddlers who just want to get on with their lives, go to kindergarten, learn the names of colors and shapes, that kind of thing.
Like we're gonna believe what you've got to say, toddler sympathizer. Tell me this. Why do all the law-abiding moderate toddlers never say anything when one of their kind shoots someone?
Because most of them haven't learned to speak yet.
Ugh, just more excuses.
Last week, a toddler shot his mom. He was born and raised in Milwaukee, a homegrown toddler. This ban would not stop his parents from leaving their gun cabinet unlocked.
That story chills me to my bone. These toddlers are in your homes already, people! We have to take drastic action now! 77 toddlers have shot U.S. citizens so far this year! Give the police powers to stop and search them! Check their papers! Cross-reference their social security cards!
Toddlers do not have social security cards!
Exactly! So we should deport them all! Load them onto boats! Ban the toddlers!
Well, this debate looks set to run and run, if only there was a simpler solution. Thank you for joining us. Over to sports with Charlie.
What a gorgeous sketch that was, listeners. Let's have another.
I would keep marker pens in my pockets so I could correct signs from less to fewer.
Hi, I'm Louis Theroux, and I'm going inside the shadowy world of grammar Nazis.
I would argue with people online, with colleagues, employers, even at parties. I thought everyone would be impressed that I knew the difference between count and non-count nouns, or how to use effect and affect.
Oh, you see, I know that one. It's effect is a verb and effect is a noun.
Not always! Effect can be a verb in some circumstances. For example, to effect change. And affect can be a noun. For example, he took the news with little affect.
Okay, I feel like I've touched a bit of a nerve there. Shall I help you pick the table up? It was clear that the road to recovery was a long one, but I wanted to go deeper. Sarah, not her real name, is still part of the grammar Nazi community.
It started with the little things, just correcting apostrophes, and then you're sucked into this electrifying online world where they're discussing the possessive you're and the contraction of you are. And before you know it, you're writing out essays in comment sections explaining the difference between there, and there.
But don't you worry about the effect.
Effect.
Yes, the effect that it has on people. You know, it might upset them, might offend them. Do you consider other people's feelings?
Look! It's not my job to make people feel comfortable. I'm a truth teller. And if you can't handle that with your BBC elite brainwashed ways, then you can just get the hell out of my house right now.
Okay. I spoke to Sarah's daughter Emily, who, at 13, has been brought up in the grammar Nazi world and doesn't know anything outside of it. So, we're in your room now. There's lots of posters all over the walls, but I don't really recognise these people. They don't seem to be bands or movie stars. Who's that, for example?
That's Dr. Bernard Lamb, the president of the Queen's English Society. Isn't he dreamy?
Super dreamy. And this?
Oh, that's William Cobbett, author of A Grammar of the English Tongue, 1818. The chapter on syntax as relating to adjectives is really racy.
Right. I accompanied our original grammar Nazi, we're going to call him Paul, on a typical day in his life. I wanted to really get involved with the grammar Nazi lifestyle.
See? The sign says 5 items or less, but it should be fewer, so you're going to go ahead and correct that with spray paint.
Righto, here goes. Am I being a grammar Nazi now?
That's perfect. And now you've done that, you're also going to ask to speak to someone senior to get it corrected permanently.
Right, well, I don't think I really want to do that. Can I say no to that?
Why are you saying no? What's the problem?
Well, I guess the point of language is to communicate an idea, and while it should be fewer, no one reading it is in any doubt about what it means, so in that sense, it's perfectly good communication, isn't it? So I don't really want to make some poor manager's day a bit worse by complaining about something they don't really have control over.
Over which they don't really have any control.
Right, you see, you're looking at me quite angry.
Angrily! It's an adverb! You told me to just behave exactly as I would.
You split an infinitive there.
Good point. No, you're right. But I try to see things from other people's perspectives. That's the difference between you and I.
You and me?
Yes, fair enough. That's right. Now, I'm going to speak to someone about getting the sign corrected permanently, and I'd leave me alone if I was you.
If I were you, it's the subjunctive. Don't hit me.
Oh, God! Can we all give him some space?
I don't know. Can we? Or do you mean may we give the fainted man some space? Paul, am I a grammar Nazi now? Am I grammar Nazi-ing? Paul, am I doing it now? Paul had to be rushed to the hospital and refused to take part in the rest of the documentary.
Right, Theo and Cleo.
Gemma, hi!
So good to see you.
So good.
Look, there's someone else hosting my show.
I thought we already had this conversation. Theo, can you get me confirmation on that?
I'm checking now.
Oh, who has their keyboard noises turned on?
Gemma, this is radio.
Whatever. And anyway, I mean a different someone else hosting.
Oh, who do they get?
Joanna Lumley.
That's a great get for this show.
No, I agree. But...
great! Then we're all in agreement. I love it when that happens.
No, we're not in agreement. Why is there anyone else hosting my show?
The thing is, Gemma, you're not a national treasure who's been a beloved icon for decades, but you're not young and sexy either. Like, what are you?
You're a very difficult sell, you have to admit. Firstly, you're from Birmingham.
That's not even one of the good accents. Have you considered being from somewhere else?
Could I have grown up in the past somewhere different? No, I don't think so.
See, you're going to have to take on board some of our feedback if you want to become marketable. Like, why don't you suffer a terrible trauma?
That could be something to market you on. Write us a funny, feel-good comedy about something terrible that's happened to you. And then we can talk about you actually being in it.
I'm already thinking Sheridan Smith and instead.
Love it! Gemma, can you get us a script by tomorrow?
Well, I don't know if I'll have time
to... You have to grab opportunities when they present themselves, Gemma. Seize the day.
A friend of mine is directing a new ad campaign. If you could be the face of a big commercial, then we might consider having you as a host.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll set you up with an audition today. But lose the Birmingham accent, yeah?
It isn't even that strong. Oh, no, I can hear it now. Yeah.
Ew.
You're listening to Gemma Arrowsmith's Sketched Out with me, Gemma Arrowsmith.
Thank you. I'm so honoured to be speaking to you all from this room here today at the start of our annual conference. Because I have been given the job of unveiling a new policy that is going to transform the lives of everyone. Because I know full well that not everyone was as lucky to grow up in a place such as this. So we're looking to bring in legislation making all employers declare how many foreign workers they have in their employment. It's about time we shamed those employers who overlook decent British workers. But once that legislation is in place, we want to take it a little bit further. We can't have people from, say, Manchester migrating the 34 miles to Liverpool and taking Liverpudlian jobs away from decent, hard-working Scousers. So employers must also declare how many non-local workers they're employing. If you think you're a citizen of this whole country, you're a citizen of nowhere. What's wrong with the city you were born in anyway? Just stay there. But we can't have people thinking the whole of their city is just available for them to work in. If we do that, we'll have people from Edgbaston working in Perry Bar, or people from Neep's End migrating through the centre of Sheffield to work in Mearsbrook. No, that way lies madness. All employers must declare what area of the city their employees come from. Otherwise, we'll have people working somewhere they like rather than where they were born. And that's when it's time to really get tough. Employers will be expected to declare what road their employees are from. We can't have people sending money earned on Speedwell Street in Oxford, home to their family on Rose Place around the corner. That is good, honest Speedwell Street money, and it should stay there. This legislation will be put in place to combat these economic migrants from neighbouring streets. By 2030, we're hoping that no human being will ever leave their house. Why should jobs for decent, hard-working people from number 34 go to those who've just travelled to number 34 from number 36? I try never to leave this room. I was born just over there. Mother gave birth on the floor with no assistance because the midwife was from Lakeview Road. Sometimes I am forced to migrate to the kitchen or the bathroom, but it's with a very heavy heart, and I always return to the sovereignty of this room as soon as I can. I'm proud to be from this room. It has a long history of great work and great people. From its architecture and literature, the copy of the Da Vinci Code in my bag, to its transport, mostly just walking around, and its strong economy, this tin of loose change. This room is a room to be proud of, and together we can make this room a room that works for everyone.
Okay, I'm delighted you've chosen me to be the director of this project. I've got exactly the right vision for it, so sit back and just let your minds be blown. Right, we open on a vista. Rolling hills, black and white, all filmed with a drone. It swoops down and suddenly, we're in a nightclub. Maybe it's the 80s, it's Kate Bush, it's Stranger Things, it's Casual Homophobia. There are all these attractive people dancing. Then, smash cut. We're in a really boring office. Open plan, lots of cubicles. There's a guy sitting at a desk. He looks at the clock on the wall and sighs. He opens a drawer on his desk and there's a duck-billed platypus in there staring up at him. He looks at it like, huh? And then we cut to the trenches of the First World War. We see maybe the same actor as the guy in the office. He's holding a rifle and he looks over the top of the trenches into no man's land. And there's the same platypus. He's wearing a gas mask. He's like, say what? And then we hard cut to a woman on a sofa in the modern day. She peels the lid off a yogurt, eats a spoonful, and smiles. Then the voiceover says, cutie fruity yogurt, do less know. Then the platypus comes out from round the back of the sofa and winks directly at the camera. So what do you think?
I couldn't love it more if I tried.
Yeah, this advert campaign is going to sell us so many yogurts and maybe bag us an Oscar. When can we start casting?
Right now. I need to find exactly the right person to be the face of yogurts, otherwise the whole thing falls apart.
Great. Who are we seeing first?
Let's see who Theo and Cleo have sent through. Gemma Arrowsmith?
Oh, did I hear my name?
This is Gemma Arrowsmith sketched out on Radio 4. On with the next sketch.
Hello, everyone. Now, I know you're as excited as I am to hear Gillian Peters read from her latest book. So, without any further ado, Gillian Peters!
Thank you. Thank you for having me here in such a beautiful bookshop. My latest book, Over the Hill, will be available to buy on Friday. I've written a male protagonist in this one, which is new for me. A lot of people say women can't write men believably, but I don't think you'll be able to tell it's a female author writing a male lead. Call me crazy, but I've always considered men to just be people with all the same complexities and emotions as women. And that's why I'm so excited to introduce you to my strong, independent male, David. Here's a little extract to whet your appetite. David was 33, but still attractive in a weather-worn sort of way. He could be quite handsome if only he'd make an effort. It was morning, and he was lying in bed awake, the silk sheets brushing his penis as he awkwardly changed position. He got up and walked to the mirror, his penis swaying from side to side as he walked. He looked at himself and couldn't help noticing how pert his buttocks still were. Not bad for a man past his prime. He thought for a moment about the new guy at the office, 18, blonde, and didn't even realise how handsome he was. That was him once. But he wouldn't get any attention at the office anymore. He showered and considered his penis as the water trickled down his back and between his aforementioned pert buttocks. He could swear there were stretch marks and wrinkles appearing all over his body since he passed 30. He dressed in loose-fitting cotton trousers, which gave his penis ample room while still teasing onlookers as to its length and girth. The phone rang. Oh no! He shook his head so hard his penis swayed from side to side. And to find out who's on the phone, you'll have to buy the book on Friday. Thanks to my editor, Julie, and my publisher, Marianne, who have read this over and over and given me great notes. See you at awards season!
What a lovely sketch that was, listeners.
Perfect. Thank you, Miss Lumley.
Oh, Joanna, please. I'm not one of those actors who says, don't you know who I am? I'm actually very down to earth. I take the bins out the same as everyone else. And the collection is on Wednesdays in my borough. And I know that because of how very down to earth I am.
I'm impressed you remember. I always forget mine. It's well annoying.
Annoying, yes, exactly. And it's especially annoying when you have to drag the bins all the way from your door across the grounds to the tradesman's gates, isn't it?
What?
I mean, not that. I like to go to the chippy and order...
Are you Googling things down-to-earth people say?
No, no, I order curry sauce at the chippy. See? Just like you. And that's not my iPad, it must be someone else's.
Has anyone lost a gold-plated iPad, which from the looks of it has been signed by Steve Jobs? That can't be right, he died years ago.
Oh no, he's woken up from his cryogenic chamber for a couple of minutes every few years to sign a few limited edition Apple products. Or so I've heard.
Well... Let's get back to the script, Miss Lumley. Sorry, Joanna.
Dame Joanna's fine. It's time for another sketch. Let's see what happened when Louis Theroux returned to visit the Grammar Nazis.
It's been 7 years since I entered the bizarre world of the Grammar Nazis. Sara's daughter Emily is now 20 years old. She no longer speaks to her mother after an argument about whether you should say a hotel or an hotel. Nowadays, she travels the globe, talking to people who want to free themselves from the same world she grew up in. She even did a TED talk about her experiences.
I remember the first time Mum corrected my grammar. I'd called out to her, "There's plates on the table." "There is plates on the table" should of course be "There are plates on the table." And so I started correcting my friends. But as I grew up, I started correcting harder and harder grammar until it was all I could think about. If someone at school said should of instead of should have, I'd try not to correct them. But not correcting them would make me shake until I had to get my fix and scream, "It should have! What does should of even mean?"
I met up with Emily and her new husband, Jake, in their nice semi-detached house in the home counties. So, your life is all very different now. I assume Jake here has been a good influence.
Jake's great. It was talking to him online which broke me out of the grammar Nazi world.
Right.
He made me realise it doesn't really matter if people put a double space after a full stop in their tweets or if no one seems to know how to use a semicolon.
That's all behind us, isn't it, sweetheart? Tell you what, I'll make a cuppa.
No, don't do that now. I'll do it.
Actually, I wanted to ask a few questions, so maybe if Jake...
Can... No, I'll do the tea. Ask Jake.
Why are you being well weird, Em? Louis, you want Tetleys or Yorkshires? I think we even got Earl Grey at the back of the cupboard.
Oh, I could go for some Earl Grey.
No.
What are all these? There's boatloads.
Jake, it's not what it looks like.
Emily, I don't get how you could do this to me.
It turned out Emily had been secretly correcting grammar and hiding the evidence behind the tea bags.
The state of this lot. You print out tweets and correcting the punctuation in red pen? Emily, I thought you was well past this.
No, it was just a few tweets. I am sorry, Jake, but I'm unsure if I can continue living like this.
You what?
Well, you even got our wedding vows wrong, Jake. You said should of in our wedding vows.
I should have taken you like man and wife.
Exactly. How do you expect me
to... We emailed Emily after the recording to offer her help, but she just corrected a preposition in our email and sent it back. the grammar Nazi world is clearly a difficult one to leave. Anyway, next week I make friends with a dreadful celebrity. Tune on in, why don't you?
Now, wasn't that a great sketch? I remember I wrote that one on the bus, which is a very down-to-earth thing to say, isn't it? Because that's what I am, down-to-earth. Let's have another incredibly relatable sketch, shall we?
Hi. Ha! Sorry for making you jump. Quick question, are you burgling this house?
Well, I've got the crowbar and the balaclava. What do you think? You got me. I'll go. Just don't call the police, okay?
Why would I call the police? This isn't my house.
What? Who are you then?
I'm a burglar, just like you. But I know that burgling is morally questionable and not the done thing anymore. So I practice burgle offsetting.
What the hell's that?
I'm planning to burgle about 15 houses in the next month. So what I do is I also pay to stop 15 houses from being burgled. So that means that overall, there's a net zero houses being burgled.
No, it doesn't. 15 houses are still being burgled.
You're thinking about it the wrong way. Look, I stop 15 houses being burgled. That takes us to minus 15 houses. So then I can burgle 15 houses and we're back to zero.
So what?
Genius, right? I got the idea from BP. They offset their carbon emissions by paying other companies not to emit carbon into the atmosphere. And then they go ahead and emit carbon into the atmosphere.
Ah, that's what carbon offsetting is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I figured, why can't I offset all my horrible behaviour as well? So look, you are going to burgle what? 500 quid's worth of stuff from this house? I'll give you 500 quid to not burgle this house.
Oh, sweet.
And then I'll burgle a house next week, making a net total of zero houses being burgled.
Whatever you say, man. Thanks for the money.
Hey, I'm not a hero. You said that, not me.
I didn't say that.
BP and me are both heroes. Stop going on about it.
Congratulations. Look, I'm going to go. Oh, hold on, though. What if I just come back tomorrow when you're not here and burgle this house anyway?
Well, I'd be so, like, mega upset about that. But ultimately, that would be your decision. I would have a clear conscience because it was my heroic actions which got us to net zero burgled houses in the first place.
Idiot.
Who's down there?
A really good person. That's who. No need to thank me.
You're listening to me, Gemma Arrowsmith, hosting my very own sketch show here on Radio 4.
Gemma, you're back in the studio. Amazing. Joanna's been...
Amazing?
Yeah.
So, how did the audition go?
The director said I didn't look at the yoghurt with the right mixture of anticipation and ennui, so who knows?
Oh, well, fingers crossed. An ad campaign is great for exposure.
Sorry, darlings, that's mine. Wimp you a second. Hello? Oh, really? Well, how much is it paying? Thank goodness. I was worried I'd have to lay off my third housemaid. I'll be right there. Thank you, lovey. Right, I'm off.
Sorry, we've got one more link to do, Miss Lumley.
You know, I'd love to, but I've been asked to be the face of yoghurts.
What?
Half an hour's work and enough cash to cryogenically unfreeze Steve Jobs whenever I so please. Ciao for now.
Could you just read the credits quickly before you go?
The credits? There's only one credit that matters, and it's Dame Joanna National Treasure Lumley. Get someone else to do your bloody credits.
Gemma, read the credits.
And if I do that, I can host next week?
We'll see.
Gemma Arrowsmith Sketched Out was performed by Gemma Arrowsmith, Kudzanai Chihuahua, Thomas Nelstrop and Dan Starkey, with guest star Joanna Lumley. It was written by Gemma Arrowsmith and the script editor was Tasha Danraj. The producer was Gwyn Rhys Davis and it was a BBC Studios production. How was that? I've been practising and everything.
Theo and I will have a little chat and circle back to you.